Ukraine's army chief says his forces are making gains in the south, but it remains unclear whether Russia's begun pulling troops out of the city of Kherson. On Wednesday, Russia's defence minister said he's ordered forces to withdraw to the eastern bank of the Dnipro River near Kherson. But Ukrainian officials are worried their troops may walk into booby traps or be ambushed. We have three reporters on this story. In a moment, we'll get reaction from Mohammed Val in Moscow and Jonah Hull in Kyiv. But first, let's get the latest from Assad Beg in Zelenodolsk. Assad, what more can you tell us? What have you seen? What have you witnessed?
Well, we've been in Kherson this morning and today, and the artillery battles are still taking place. You can still hear the shelling taking place between the two militaries, the Ukrainians and the Russians, and the missiles going overhead. But when you actually go through Kherson, you realize that the towns and villages that the Russians have withdrawn from. Now, what happens is that when the Ukrainians take a village or a town, Kherson is mainly rural flatland, so they end up taking loads of territory. But when the Ukrainians take a town or village, the Russians can still shell them. And that's exactly what's been going on. We've just come from a town that's been completely destroyed. We went through it, and there wasn't a single building that hadn't been damaged, that didn't have shrapnel damage or bullet holes. There was no electricity, there was no water, and there's hardly anybody left. We found a handful of people. And where the Russian forces had been stationed, well, that was completely destroyed, and there was weaponry that was left behind. Now, when we speak to Ukrainian soldiers, they're proceeding with caution. They don't trust the Russians, they don't trust these announcements that have happened, but they also understand that even if they manage to take Kherson city, the Russian forces will be on the other side of the river and still be able to shell them, still be able to hit targets in Kherson and throughout Ukraine. But it will be a morale booster for many people here, especially at a time when they're suffering from electricity and water shortages, and for countries that are supporting Ukraine to see the Ukrainian troops advancing. But again, just for example, when we were here, coming to our way here to be live to you, we had to stop because the Ukrainians had found some mines and they had to detonate those before we could actually proceed. So that's still actually taking place. Even though the Russian forces won't be in certain areas, there's still this threat of booby traps and mines, and that's what the Ukrainian forces are worried about when they actually go into Kherson city.
Well, Assad, we really appreciate the update given everything that just happened. Assad Beg, live for us there. Stay safe. Let's bring in Jonah Hull, who is in the capital, Kyiv. Jonah, what does this all mean in terms of the war?
Probably, frankly, it's too early to say what it all means in terms of the wider war context, simply because it is unclear what exactly is happening inside Kherson city and on the west bank of the Dnipro River there. Yes, there's been an order given by the Ministry of Defence in Moscow to pull back from the west bank to the east bank, but that is not something that will happen instantly, and nor was that order, in point of fact, unexpected. Russia has been preparing its exit for some weeks now, aware of the vulnerability of its forces in terms of that northern counteroffensive being mounted by the Ukrainians. And they've been building defensive lines as they go, which is why, as Assad said there, they are seeing mined land booby traps as those forces move down from the north. And the big question is, what will they encounter when they get into Kherson city itself? And that is something the Ukrainians are very worried about. Let me tell you what the administration here in Kyiv is saying. The most recent comments we have from Mykhailo Podolyak, he's a senior advisor to President Zelensky, saying that Russia is likely to be booby-trapping the city as it makes its exit from the city of Kherson, mining everything it can, from apartments to sewers, planning then not just to reduce the city itself to violence as Ukrainian troops move in, but also to shell it from the east bank, where it has repositioned its artillery units over the last few weeks, planning to turn it into, he said, a city of death. So the Ukrainians moving extremely cautiously, extremely carefully. And of course, Volodymyr Zelensky, the president himself, last night, talking about the news as it was unfolding, urging caution, urging restraint. The enemy, he said, does not bring us gifts. It does not make gestures of goodwill. We fight our way up and we will move very, very carefully.
All right, we appreciate the update. Jonah Hull, live for us in Kyiv. Let's head to Moscow now, where Mohammed Vel is standing by for us. Mohammed, how's the withdrawal news gone down in Russia?
Well, Emily, it's a mixed reaction here about this order to withdraw from Kherson. But as you know, when it comes to decisions coming from the supreme leadership, even the hawks have to toe the line. We have, for instance, the Chechen leader Ramzan Kadyrov, who wants a more aggressive approach to the war. But he has supported the decision to have Kherson, to leave Kherson, saying it is the difficult but right choice, saving the priceless lives of soldiers. So the hawks, even though they like this war to be tougher, they like action in Ukraine to be tougher against the enemy, they are towing the line, as I said, and they are supporting this decision. You know that also in Russia, most of the opposition is not able to be heard because the opposition sites, websites and outlets are suppressed here most of the time. But we have certain voices who are opposed to this withdrawal. For instance, we have a military blogger, Yuri Kotoynok, saying the decision is shocking to thousands and millions of people who are fighting for Russia, dying for Russia, believe in Russia and share the beliefs of the Russian world. So it's a mixed reaction here, and it is difficult to gauge public opinion in the right way. But there are voices who are against this withdrawal inside the country. And the Russians are divided in two camps, actually. One of them is against the war in the first place. They are unhappy with the war from the outset. And those who are now unhappy with how it is developing.
All right, we appreciate that. Thank you so much. Mohammed Vel, live for us in Moscow. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says Russia's withdrawal from Kherson shows how much pressure they're under.
We have to see how the situation on the ground develops in the coming days. But what is clear is that Russia is under heavy pressure. And if they leave Kherson, it would be another victory for Ukraine.
Let's bring in Andreas Umland, who's in Berlin. He's an analyst at the Swedish Institute of International Affairs. Andreas, thanks so much for being on this news hour. What do you make of this move? Is it humiliating for Russia or a strategic play?
Well, it is indeed for Russia an embarrassment because Kherson was the only major regional capital that Russia was able to occupy, and now it has to also leave this regional capital. It has not been able to capture another regional capital, Zaporizhia, although it has annexed the regions of Kherson and Zaporizhia. And it's now outright paradoxical what is happening, because Russia is claiming territories for annexation that it does not control.
What do you make of the timing? The withdrawal was announced shortly after Russian media revealed that the Moscow-appointed deputy leader of Kherson was killed in a suspected car crash.
I don't think that Stremousov's death, that's the name of the official, plays much of a role here. Rather, it has purely military reasons that the troops in Kherson were under strain and they could not be supplied, and so there wasn't much choice here for the Russian military leadership than to withdraw.
We've seen a pattern in this war that every time Russia suffers a major military setback, there is a response then targeting the civilian population. How cautious should Ukrainian officials be?
Yes, this has been the pattern that has been emerging now, that Russia simply attacks civilian targets deep in the Ukrainian hinterland that do not have actually any direct meaning for the war itself, for the fighting on the front line, but which are used as targets in order to exert pressure on the Russian, on the Ukrainian population, on the Ukrainian leadership, on the West, in order to perhaps create then streams of refugees from Russia, from Ukraine to the West, and to put the entire Ukrainian society under stress.
Where does this leave negotiations to end the war?
Well, one could have negotiations, but it's difficult now to negotiate because what is happening is now that we have territories that are, according to the Ukrainian constitution and to international law, Ukrainian territories, but these territories are under the Russian constitution, Russian territories. And Putin is obliged by the Russian constitution to defend the Russian constitution and the territorial integrity of the Russian state. And now, according to the Russian constitution, these annexed territories belong to the Russian state. So it's indeed difficult to imagine what could be the subject of such negotiations.
Well, we really appreciate your analysis. Andreas Umland in Berlin, an analyst at the Swedish Institute of International Affairs. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin won't be attending the G20 Leaders Summit in Bali next week. Russia is likely to face Western criticism at that meeting about the war in Ukraine. Moscow says Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov will attend and Putin may appear on video link. US President Joe Biden previously said he had no intention of meeting Putin at the G20.